Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Haere mai, haere mai, haere mai ki te kōrero, te ara whānui ki te rangi, ko Oscar Toko Ingoa, ko Pone ki Toko Whenua, ko Tangata Tiriti Toko Iwi, mihi ngā Tangata Whenua o Aotearoa, tihei Māori ora. I'm here with Voices of Aroha and Abby Patterson from Forest and Bird.
Abby's
also studying her Master's in Communication and she's a climate enthusiast. It's great to have you on the podcast.
Awesome, so happy to be here.
Kia ora, would you like to introduce some of your mahi?
Okay, cool. So, kia ora guys, I'm Abby. I'm currently studying my master's in communication, kind of really interested in communicating climate change and the environment to other people. But to kind of start from, go back a little bit further, I've always been just so passionate about the environment forever, basically. And yeah, it was always a big interest of mine. And then kind of going through high school, it was kind of I was relatively good at science, relatively enjoyed it. And, you know, the way to go if you were into the environment was doing an environmental science or biology degree. And that's what I did do. And I met some awesome people, really liked it. But it got to third year where, you know, I was kind of real. I created this Instagram account called Outdoors with Abby. And at the same time, I also joined Forest and Bird and the communications hub. And I realised, actually, I really enjoy this communication side of things.
It's a super important piece of the puzzle.
It is. I just really enjoyed making reels, doing the Instagram stuff. It was really great. I was actually potentially going to go and do a zoology master's in Otago.
You still got time?
I've still got time. But, yeah, that was what I was going to do. And then I kind of didn't hear back from them in time. But then I kind of started looking at backup options. And it was like, actually, I much prefer the idea of coming to Pōneke and I also think I really want to try this communications thing. Like, it's different, but I really like it and enjoying it so much so far.
Oh, I'm glad you came to Pōneke. It's got some charms for sure.
And yeah.
We definitely need you in the climate fight for sure. Is there anything like immediately that you want, like from your degree, that you wanted to communicate about the climate straight away, like straight off the bat? I know that that's a huge topic.
Oh, no, for sure. I mean, I guess obviously coming, this is my first year of the master's and kind of coming off the back of like January in the world, I think there's kind of a lot of people come into power who are kind of communicating kind of the opposite. And I think even the situation in New Zealand last year, so many, like we were having to fight against so many bills that were destructive to the environment.
Back of the environmental protections.
Yeah, exactly. And it was kind of like, these are the people in power, but we need to kind of, so there needs to be information online about this to kind of almost debunk it or make it seem, I felt that climate change and climate action was so overcomplicated. Like I think people were saying, oh, we need to invest millions of these into these wind farms or like, you know, carbon credits and stuff. And it was like, I think what I would love is if people could just like, if they would, there's just so many things that are so much easier or like, you know, community and there's so such small actions that people can take. It doesn't have to be these billion dollar
I fully agree with you. It doesn't need to be actions. Super high tech, super expensive. I think a lot of the solutions we have, we've had for a long time,
yeah.
and we've got a lot of the skills and tools and knowledge and experience and expertise between the community that I think we can respond to a lot of these solutions.
Yeah. I actually, one of the things I think almost, I want to say started it, but like I read David Attenborough, like his book, he's got his like Wisdom for the Planet. It's like his recent book he wrote a couple years ago. And he's got this bit at the end where he just talks about if we did these things, then we could save the planet. This is my blue. And I'm like, why doesn't everybody know this? Why is this not communicated to the world that we need this to happen?
Absolutely.
How can we tell people this? And like it was kind of... Yeah, and then also at a similar time, I think just before I started my Instagram account, I think I was talking to some friends and family who weren't kind of in my sector or like studying that and just sort of said, it's so depressing. So much of the news is just depressing and hard to engage in. And it was kind of, yes, finding that like happy medium to get people like excited, people who are kind of like my age where you're just currently like you're saturated with information on social media. How can we catch their eye with something when it's, you know, about the planet, you know?
Absolutely. I think you're so right to point to David Attenborough as a legendary example, as a communicator, as a climate specialist, as a bio-awareness advocate. He's done so many movies, but what was that one that was like his like life statement?
I think it's like Witness Statement, A Vision for the Future or something.
I think that's what it's called.
He did it as a book and a documentary.
Yeah.
I've seen both.
Like crazy to see how quickly and how much and the scale of the global change that's happened in his lifetime.
Yeah.
I think he's a legendary person. I think he does an amazing job of, I think, calling to action and calling to respond and challenge the things that are unjust or damaging or degrading. But I think he also does a really amazing job of platforming and celebrating and being curious and diving deeper and like seeing this beautiful Earth system as this incredibly complex system. I think he holds both of those spaces really well and would love to meet him. He's one of my icons for sure.
Same, yeah.
You've actually met another one of my icons, yeah. Jane Goodall.
That was incredible.
So excited that you got to meet her. Yes. What was she like? How did it go?
She was incredible. It was like it was the Forest and Bird Leaders like teams chat and Ash, who's our coordinator, shout out to Ash, she's incredible, basically was like, 10 people, you know, trip to Wellington, visit, meet Jane Goodall, first in, first served. And I was like, I've got an exam next week.
I'll skip the exam.
Don't
I think
care.
Meet Jane Goodall.
Like, I've got an exam next week, but I don't care. I'm going to go. Like, I'm going to make this work. I have to do this. Like, this is incredible.
Surely seeing Jane Goodall is equivalent to a doctor's note.
Like, I know. And it was like, and it was also a biology exam the next day. So I kind of feel like, you know, meeting Jane
You're getting Goodall. A masterclass.
Exactly. Absolutely. And so, yeah. Yeah, I flew down and I think because a lot of the stuff Mahi I've been doing for Forest and Bird is online-based, so a lot of it will meet over Teams calls and stuff like that. So this was sort of the first opportunity that I got to meet people in person,
amazing.
Which was really awesome as well. And, you know, it was kind of things like, oh, I've been following you on Instagram, I've been chatting to you, but we've never actually met. It's so nice to meet you. It was really cool.
First opportunity to meet people in person and straight to legendary.
yeah, no, it was awesome. And Nicola Toki was there as well.
Awesome.
It was great. She was interviewing Jane Goodall and... Yeah, she was talking about, talking about how animals have personalities, and that was so groundbreaking at the time. The action she was taking, the way she was studying them, observing them more as people, and I think, or like giving them a human side, and I think that's so incredibly groundbreaking and just important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think Jane Goodall's Mahi with Chimps so clearly parallels our relationship and our ancestry with them, for sure.
Yeah.
And then I love the like Māori approaches of seeing the biosphere as kaitiaki and learning lessons from them. I think there's so many lessons we can learn from nature. It's our best teacher.
I was going to say, it goes so, like, her method almost goes so against the Western, it goes against, like, the Western, traditional Western ways. And, like, I think any time I study, you know, any sort of Western capitalism or Western, like, ways of caring for the environment, it's kind of like, we're not doing it right.
I think... There's ways we could do it differently.
Yeah, I think because there's always that capitalist... Like
how
mindset.
Can we make money out of this approach?
Yeah. And so I think, you know, having those, I think, you know, even, I think there's always every like biology environmental class, you've had some kaupapa Māori and mātauranga Māori and stuff. And I do think that really, like, they've got some incredible values and things there that I do think needs to really be incorporated here and throughout the world, really.
Absolutely. I fully agree. I was really honoured and grateful to do a deep dive into Te Ao Māori environmental management strategies, particularly with groundwater, for my honours degree. And
awesome.
It was amazing to learn about like how much they care, the tools they have to respond, the depth of their inquiry. Like we can learn so much. We can learn so much if we pull and extend our toolkits, for sure.
Yeah.
I think like it not only changes and extends the values we can use to frame problems, but also the variety of solutions we can grab for.
Yeah.
For our listeners, would you mind expanding more on the mahi of Forest and Bird?
Yeah, so currently I'm the communications manager for Forest and Bird Youth. I've been in that role for about a little under a year. So the communications hub kind of handles a lot of like the social media side of things. Kind of putting together a team. We've got graphic designers. We've got people who we've got people who do video editing, we've got people who write, we've got people who do all sorts of things. There's been, some incredible articles being written and stuff like that as well.
Is that research as well as advocacy or primarily advocacy?
There is a campaigns hub, so that's the one that handles more research.
Okay.
We do work quite closely with the campaigns hub because they're another virtual hub. We're kind of like sharing, sharing the work of Forest and Bird, like, on social media. And kind of you being that point of, bringing youth online. And I think one of my visions was to sort of, boost that kind of what the youth are actually doing, sharing their stories. I kind of have had, when I got into the role in June, the kind of first big project I did was for Conservation Week, which was in September. And each of the hubs, we kind of went around each kind of local hub and they did 7 days, 7 themes, and the themes were like grasslands, mountains,
like all the ecosystems.
And those were the themes, and that was kind of my first big thing that I got to do. And now we're working this year on like bi-monthly news bulletins, which has been really cool. I've done the first one.
Is that a kind of current affairs, keeping up with climate kind of vibe?
Kind of, yeah. Okay. So it's basically trying to encourage all the hubs, like basically showing videos from different events they've gone on. And then also I'm kind of adding little extra things as well of like sharing if, one of the leaders has gone and done a really awesome opportunity, we'll share that. If they've had professional development opportunities, we'll share that. Talking about, a lot of the mahi, like I know one of our young leaders, Petra, she submitted against the Treaty Principles Bill. She did an oral submission on behalf of Forest and Bird Youth.
Oh,
and we
super
got to
important.
Put that in there. I did like a little montage of things people got up to over the summer and things like that. And we're also kind of, I'm working on at the moment kind of each episode as well, having a different story of a different leader of like talking about their involvement, like I've graduated and this is my story, and kind of getting to share like different leaders' stories and things across Forest and Bird Youth, and kind of bringing light to these leaders and all the incredible mahi they're doing.
That's amazing. That sounds like such an incredible platform to gather all those resources to count the victories. I think it's super important to count the victories. Who's doing great mahi? Because there's a lot of people doing amazing mahi. And I think also to have a kind of current affairs, keeping up with climate corridor is super important.
Because,
I mean, for those of us in the know, we know that it's changing in real time. But I think it's important to communicate those changes to the wider public for sure.
Yeah.
Would you say Forest and Bird would be a good platform to start engaging with Climate Corridor for our listeners who'd want to get more involved?
Definitely. There's always opportunities to get involved. There's local hubs and there's online hubs.
Okay,
so
cool.
I think, the online hubs sort of work to kind of help the local hub, like because the local hubs, you can do like local events and things like that and bringing people together that way. And I think the communications and the campaigns hub itself sort of bring, the mahi of everything across them all too kind of together and bringing awareness to that, and definitely lots of opportunities. No matter what capacity you have, you can help out one off with a project. You can be constantly involved. You can start your own I think there's also so much space. Like we've got a big sort of teams chat, and I'll sort of say anyone who wants to do something, let me know. And I'm very rarely going to say no. Like there's never a time where if someone says I want to do this, I say no, you can't. Like it's kind of course, let me work with you and
see how we can build it.
Yeah, and there's definitely a lot of agency and a lot of, there's Forest and Bird actual guidelines themselves, but other than that, you've got a lot of, I encourage people as well that if they've got an idea for something they want to share, like if they've got an issue that's really important to them, that, yeah, we can help them, you know, put that into the bulletin and kind of share that. And that if they don't have an idea but want to be involved, then I can help kind of guide them towards that. And that's why I love the idea of the bulletin, of like keeping a kind of something consistent. Because yeah, people do have those ideas of things they want to do. There's always a platform for it to go. Like, if you've got something, let's put it on the bulletin. And that's why, yeah, I'm kind of hoping that, yeah, I've only done one so far. There's one coming out into the month. So that'll be exciting to have that there and everything. Yeah.
Wow. I love that collaborative platform. I fully believe that we need a collaborative response to climate. Like, whatever your skill set is, if you want to write, if you want to design, if you want to research, hide MI, we need all of it.
Yeah. I think one of the big beliefs I would realize now is, you know, there are so many ways to support the environment that isn't just like the scientist.
Yeah.
You know, that there's all the one or the person protesting in the street. Like, there's kind of, which are kind of the two you see. But it's like, you don't have to be an academic or a scientist or a protester. You can, there's so many different things you can do.
Yeah. I really want to acknowledge your efforts to like action that in a professional space with your mahi with Forest and Bird, in an academic space with your master's in communication.
Yeah.
And then also in a personal platform with your Instagram. That's amazing.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I sort of just really enjoy it, I think. And like, you know, trying to keep on top of it is, you know, it can be a lot of work sometimes. Like, there was one reel I had to get out, and it was, you know, it was a busy uni day, and I'd had so many issues with my platform, and it was just like, but I'm still so glad I did it, and it's just so rewarding, and the people I've met through it and everything as well is just so incredible.
And good on you for juggling all the commitments. I think it is a hustle for sure. I can appreciate that. Would you have any advice or recommendations for other people who are also juggling multiple commitments and trying to navigate between worlds?
I wish I had a good way to put it. Like, I'm not particularly like, I do need a better system for what I'm doing. I wish I could say like, I've got this, this, and this. I kind of just sign up to everything, get burnt out, take 2 weeks off, and then get back into it.
I'm so glad you say that because that's my approach as well.
I'm working on it. Like, right now, I've got kind of a whole thing. I actually got ChatGPT to help me write. I've got 3 weeks to get this assignment done and this project done to help me write a plan.
Absolutely.
So that has been, yeah, that's kind of what's like in my jobs at the moment, trying to get things like to actually have a good organized plan. I do not currently have one.
It's a process.
It's constantly
leveling up our toolkit.
It is. It is because I'm passionate about it, I make it work.
Good on you.
I think that's one of the things that I feel like if I didn't want to do it, I wouldn't. Like, it's something I think, yeah, I definitely, I've learned a lot of lessons along the way, especially with like Instagram. And I think they definitely go hand in hand with each other of things that work and don't work, and, you know, learning what people like and what content people want to see, but also what content I want to make and what people need to see and things like that as well.
I fully hear being passionate about your work kind of gives you energy to keep sustaining doing the work.
Yeah.
And I think that I would say that would be one of my recommendations for anyone who's thinking of joining uni or like committing to mahi. It's like, make sure you at least enjoy the mahi that you're doing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the work is so much bigger than the worker, especially when it comes to climate. So we definitely need collaborators for sure.
Yeah.
I think the online platforms like the Instagrams and the social medias, and like, they're really amazing ways to gather and rally that social momentum.
Yeah, exactly.
It is a weird time right now. Like, things are changing. There's a lot of things happening in a lot of different directions. And I think there's a lot of social mobility. If we can capture that and harness that and kind of collectively channel that towards a collective vision of climate response, I think we have the tools we need. We just need to communicate it.
Yeah. For sure. I think there is kind of that way of like, we need storytellers.
Absolutely. We need storytellers. Sure.
And that is a big thing with Forest, I've found with Forest and Bird Youth as well, is that there'll be some people who might have a story, but they don't, if they don't have, you know, kind of providing that platform to share it. Like, you know, one of my friends who's one of the leaders, you know, she's got this incredible story of how, you know, all the mahi she's done throughout the few years, and she's just left Forest and Bird. And I was like, it'd be great to have a like video of your story here and, you know, kind of putting that on there. And I think necessarily we might not have had that opportunity to share her story if not. And, you know, kind of giving that platform to people. And even like one of, there's another person who's like a really good writer, but doesn't really like making videos. So it's like, well, you do the writing and we'll put together a video for you so we can still share it.
Absolutely.
That collaborative, you know, bringing these stories to light kind of thing.
Absolutely. I think, yeah, there's so many people doing such important mahi, and I think that is, like, that's great that you guys can platform that and advocate that and give people opportunities to develop and extend that and kōrero about that, because yeah. I think that's been one of the big challenges of climate change, is like, how do we chat about it,
yeah.
and how do we acknowledge the people who are doing a lot of mahi in the space?
Yeah, for sure.
There's a lot of mahi across the spectrum, from the academics to the social advocates to the support services to broadcasting it. There's a whole network of
so much work, yeah.
infrastructure trying to respond to this. Is there anything else you'd say to help people who want to get involved but maybe don't know where to put their agency?
Yeah, I feel like there's so many things out there you have to find. Like, there are so many things I wouldn't know existed if I didn't kind of have that platform on Instagram. I think, you know, I have in many ways just kind of cold DM'd people. If I've seen mahi and liked it, I'm like, hey, can I get involved? Or, like, you know, just kind of even just Googling a couple keywords on either Instagram or LinkedIn or Google and kind of just seeing what you can do. Opportunities don't always come up immediately, but kind of seeing where you can, I think kind of people might often expect opportunities to come to them. I think you kind of have to reach out, I think, a lot of the time.
Yeah.
I wish it was easier for a lot of people. Like, I wish that there was kind of, it was more available. But I think, unfortunately, particularly the way the algorithms are done and who they're run by, sometimes that environmental content won't make it to your feed unless you, you know, go out there yourself. So I think a lot of it is early on a bit of Googling. But yeah, once you then kind of interact with things like it, then hopefully, you know, it'll bring it back to you, given, you know, with the algorithm and stuff. Also, if you ever do want to get involved, DM me and I can use my connections and help.
What's your Instagram handle again?
It's Outdoors with Abby.
Outdoors with Abby.
Yes.
On Instagram. And Forest and Bird. I think that's an amazing Forest platform to engage with on so many different levels. And whatever your toolkit, bring it to places that are already doing those mahi. Don't feel like, I think a lot of people feel like they have to respond to climate on their own, but there are communities and hubs that are rallying and activating and mobilizing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really important mahi out there. And I also really acknowledge what you say of, like, kind of picking your battles and, like, knowing what you want to prioritize and how to find a way to do it your way, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's something that's really amazing about your Instagram. It's like, there's... You're kind of doing it in all of the ways. I just really want to acknowledge that.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. And it is a hustle, like, to juggle all of those commitments and to sustain it over time. It's a lot. So big ups to your effort, for sure.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, I think because I do love it, it doesn't really feel like work. Like, that's kind of my downtime, which probably isn't always ideal, but that is definitely, in a way, it's kind of my unwinding. It's like, oh, if I get to the end of the day, I'll start, like, drafting a reel or something, you know? Like, if I can get through my uni work.
I totally appreciate that work, like, that work ethic. That's awesome. And do you have good collaborators at Forest and Bird that kind of help give you energy and bounce ideas around?
Yeah, some people who are awesome. So we had, like, a hui in July of last year. We went to Taranaki because they had these two awesome young leaders, Amber and Sam, had just set up a hub there, and they were, like, I think 16 and 17, and they'd set up this hub, and it was so cool. And, like, all the mahi they were doing there, we got to see it, and we got to interact with people there. And then probably about 30 young leaders on the hui, and we kind of had a weekend all together. It was just so awesome getting to network with these people, and and also just so awesome to get, like, I got to go see Mount Taranaki.
Beautiful moment.
Which is, absolutely beautiful. I definitely want to go back there soon.
And the reserve around, stunning.
Yeah, and I think we had leaders from, I think, every hub. We had at least one person there, and it was so awesome to get to connect with those people. And those are, like, I'm really good friends with a lot of those people now because of that. And I think, you know, people I met, and, like, I've been able to connect with those people, and there's definitely, you know, there'll be, then, you know, I can almost reach out to them and say, hey, I want this thing for the bulletin. Can you, like, work on this? Do you want to share your story? Or, like, I think having those friends is really helpful because they're always keen to support, and I'm always keen, you know, if it is someone that, you know, you've made that good friendship with, it's like, oh, I want to, like, you know, film that and I can, you know, put it out for you, you know, kind of thing. I think
we can support each other. I think that's such an important part of finding and building on those communities.
Yeah.
It's like, you can help tell each other's stories.
Yeah.
You can offer definitely each other skill sets.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there's lots of ways that I think people can help and Yeah, even like I think I've done two sort of collaborative posts. One of my friends, she runs a small business called like a Moment of Science. I'm actually wearing her earrings right now. She's got these little jellyfish ones.
Love.
And yeah, I've got a bunch of other ones. I always wear them in my reels. And yeah, we did a giveaway on Valentine's Day. Like we did kind of like a follow each other account kind of thing. And then also, yeah, I've collaborated with one of my friends in, here in Wellington who does a lot of underwater photography, and we did a reel together for that as well. So definitely keen to do more of those in the future as well. Just collaborating with people is super, super awesome.
And I think collaboration is how we move forward, I think.
Yeah.
Between us, between we've got all of the passions, all of the skill sets, I think we can move forward for with
yeah,
this.
Yeah, for sure.
That's so exciting. Absolutely. You mentioned that Forest and Bird has like local and community hubs.
Yeah.
Is there, and it sounds like they've also got a national presence
yeah.
to help connect groups around the motu. That's awesome. Is it? Would you be able to name any local ones in Wellington that people can contact to get involved with? There's one in
yeah,
uni?
There is one. I think at the moment, yeah, it's kind of, I think there's a few like leaders moving on at the moment and kind of getting off the ground a bit more.
Sure.
But there are the current existing hubs. There's ones in Auckland, mm-hmm. Hawke's Bay, Taranaki, Wellington, Nelson, Dunedin and Christchurch are kind of the main ones, localised hubs. And there is also the opportunity, they gave you the resources to start your own youth hub.
Great.
If that's what you want. Like I know, yeah, like the one in Taranaki, we went to the Hui there, that they'd just recently set that up. And
that's a great example of if you've got an idea, do that idea and then find, yeah. there are people out there who can help tell your story, help resource that, help you develop that idea.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing.
Yeah, and Ash, who is the coordinator, she's had a lot of done a lot of like mahi around kind of like children's climate education stuff like that, and like wildlife and stuff like that. And she's incredible. And like you know, I'll message her with an idea, and she's like, "Yeah, happy to support you." And pretty much, yeah, always very like you know, I mean, she knows a lot of the things about this is the rules of Forest and Bird, but also like is very and has the resources and helps us. And we also get quite a good budget as well, which is great.
Ideal.
To then like you know be able to do things.
That's yeah. really interesting. I think engaging the younger audiences and demographics are super important in this. They're going to inherit the controls and the powers that be.
Yeah.
Would you, from your experience, do you have any tips or tricks to like that have landed well on Instagram or like that people have responded to?
I think, I mean, it is always kind of it depends, but I think try and like hone in on what's trending across. You know, there is that whole. There is the algorithm and there is the system of what people are engaging with. People have very short attention spans.
Yeah.
And trying to, like, I guess, especially with engaging people, you know, rangatahi and people, like, under 30, it's kind of that you do have to kind of come to terms with they've got short attention spans. They're also probably quite anxious. So telling them they're all going to, you know, that, you know, like, you have to do this or we're all going to die probably isn't actually going to do anything. It's probably
yeah.
just going to make them disengage more. It's kind of having that point of, hey, look at what we can do if we take action. Yeah, it's a really hard balance because I think if you say we're fine, that's a lie, but you can't go too far because people are just, you're just going to seem, I don't know, angry or like, you know, or they'll think it's hopeless. Why would we put our effort into this?
I think there's so many challenges with communicating climate change and
yeah.
all of those dynamics. And I think trying to pitch it and trying to get the right tone, also really challenging.
Yeah.
I think one of the really difficult things is like that kind of temporal factor. Like there's so many moving parts within the climate dynamics and climate system.
Yeah.
But like how they play out and the time periods of which they play out and how they relate to each other and impact each other
yeah.
is also really hard to fully nail down. But I think it's over an extended period a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Like the ocean and the atmosphere and the ice sheets, they all respond, and the lithosphere, they all respond with their own rhythms. I think while that's hard to predict, it also gives us windows to respond
yeah.
and agencies that we can use to, yeah, to harness or collaborate with these systems that are going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
I think that's a really interesting idea.
Yeah, I think, you know, and there's even, you know, things like, you know, I think because it is such a slow, almost slow process that it's like, that's why climate justice is such a big area as well, because so many of the people that are being impacted directly already are actually
minor contributors.
Like minor contributors. And there's these people making these massive things who aren't seeing it. And it's unfortunately, it's that way of like, how do we get people to care about these things? Because they're like, oh, it's not affecting me. Like, we can't do any, I can't do anything about it.
There is a huge injustice here. I think the people who are currently paying for climate decisions that happened arguably centuries ago, is like there's an injustice in those dynamics. And I think there's also an injustice in the decision making power and authority. Like these decisions get made behind closed and specialized doors. You're only involved if you're already involved.
Yeah.
And those decisions have global, worldwide impacts. I think both in every direction of that equation, how we play those decisions and how we make the choices we make and what priorities we make is going to impact all of us.
Yeah.
I think the climate is getting to a point where it is going to impact all of us. So I think it is we're all in this together. It's a real rallying call for all of us to unite.
Yeah.
We could chat about this and many other topics for all evening.
Yeah.
I'd be so keen to have you back on the podcast if you'd be interested.
Would absolutely love to do that.
Awesome. We have to unfortunately wrap up this podcast now,
okay.
though. And we have a tradition at Voice of Aroha to ask the book questions. So there's two parts to this. This is a collection of all of our guests, and they've answered a question from the last guest, and they've asked a guest a question. So the question we have for you today, Abby, is Mauri ora kia tātou. Thank you for awesome kōrero. Leadership is service, from last kōrero. That was their quote. And then their question was, what one change would you make to support a young person to establish a good life?
That's
a big question.
That is a big question.
You get your own big question afterwards.
Okay. I think there's many ways of, like, there's kind of an aspect of giving them, you know, preventing them from like hardships, but I think the hardships ultimately shape a lot of the things we are. So it's kind of like you wouldn't want to, you know, give them a free pass, because you really, like, ultimately, without a lot of experience that I've had, I think if things hadn't gone badly, then
this?
I wouldn't be where I am today.
Absolutely.
So it's, and I'm a big advocate for that. Like, I think I had like a couple of experiences even like last year where I was like, I don't think, there were some things that happened in September where I don't think I would be right here today if it wasn't for those things. And there was stuff that happened end of 2023 that if that hadn't happened, I don't think I would have started my Instagram account. And so it's kind of, that's kind of, I think, so I wouldn't say like stop people from having hardships, because I think that, but I think giving everyone equal access to funding and resources, like keeping that open and even, because, you know, there's obviously people who might have incredible ideas but don't have the resources to share it. And there are other people who might have a small idea and, you know, a lot of money and can do a lot with it. So I would say, giving the platform for people to share their ideas, creating equality in that, I think, because people's stories and what happens to them are ultimately, I reckon, shape the better stories we have.
I think that's a great answer. Like, what's that saying? That's like, smooth seas never made a skilled sailor, or like it takes adversity to kind of craft that expertise and to have those character building experiences and to build those resiliences. I think that's a really interesting kōrero to, like, don't. It's not about removing the wave. It's about learning how to ride or catch those waves, or like process those waves as life happens.
Yes, that was I think. Yeah, I think having those experiences, and that creates a unique story as well that then you can share and tell and things like that.
Kia ora, Abby. Thank you so much for your time today. Unfortunately, that's everything we've got for today. I'd be so keen to continue this conversation on screen or behind the scenes.
Of course. It was really awesome.
Thanks so much for your time.
And no, thank you so much.
For your listeners, feel free to follow us on YouTube and all our socials to hear our kōrero with Abby. Thank you.
Sure, guys.
We'll be right back.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.